I'm John O'Loughlin. Welcome to McDuff Lives Podcast. They had a couple of years in which they didn't think that the public was going to be aware that they had already developed some countermeasures. And I'd say countermeasures as opposed to vaccine. Because that's what I think, you know, if you look at it as a sword and shield thing, that it is a military operation in which you are infecting the battlefield while you've already vaccinated your soldiers. The military would probably like to have that weapon. It's a biological weapon. Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm John O'Loughlin. Welcome to McDuff Lives. I'm going to be trying to do some riffing this morning and basically relying upon Mark Kulak's work over at Housatonic Live. This is kind of an experiment of reaching out to see if folks believe or agree with my summation of a lot of work that's been done by other people, especially Mark Kulak, JJ Cooey, Nick from Twitter, David Underdown, Bill Taylor, how many others should we name? But these are people that I really rely upon and will be talking to more this week. So I want to put this out there and then get some feedback because this is my theory and it is called the two faces of COVID. This is me putting out a theory for the very first time. It's likely to have a lot of holes in it. It's likely to be wrong. And I just want you to know that it's just a theory. I'm not providing any information. I'm not pretending to know the answers. I am not an expert. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a physicist. I'm not a biologist. I'm not a virologist or an immunologist or any of those ologies. I am just somebody that has been studying this for about 5 years now. And of course, the COVID part of it has been a huge part of our studies ever since early 2020, when we started getting attacked at our charrette on the grounds that we were somehow doing something dangerous in trying to find the answers to COVID. So that has never left me. I've been in the background trying to sort it out and, you know, but deferring to other people that are devoting a lot more time to it, like Mark Kulak's. So anyway, this is from Mark's most recent videos, the last two or three of them. And again, find him on Rumble because he's probably taken them off of YouTube by now. The first name I want to talk about is Inovio. Inovio was the company that was the most prominently invested in going into the COVID crisis. However, not long after the COVID crisis hit, Inovio no longer was the favored platform, and then Moderna became the favored platform. Again, this was a time before Pfizer was even involved. So let's remember that Moderna has roots in the Five Eyes, in the CIA, the MI5 or MI6. And Inovio was making a product that was a coronavirus that could be made infectious. And the idea was that they would use DNA to create a vaccine for this particular coronavirus. Now, this particular coronavirus, I'm not sure I can describe it properly, but I think it is what they ultimately termed to be CV19. And it's something that was, I believe, but I might be wrong, but I believe it was probably concocted out of genetic sequences in order to create something and see if they could make it infective, even though it was really a synthetic product. Well, they made it We know that they've been able to infect people with aerosols. And Mark again has pointed that out. Of course, that goes back to the 60s with the apparent murder of Frank Olson, right? Because his specialty was aerosols. And then, of course, you have Hatfield and the anthrax, and that is associated with the aerosolizing method of infection. In other words, to spray an infection or to put it into a HVAC system, as George Webb has strongly suggested, was done to a nursing home over in Alexandria, Virginia. And then the vapes, which Mark and George have worked on, the idea that those vapes were perhaps infected themselves with this infectious coronavirus. Now, this infectious coronavirus is in fact clones. And here we look to back to J.J. Cooey at Giga Ohm Biological, who you need to go to Twitch to see, and not Rumble, but he does his work mainly on Twitch. So definitely look him up. He's J.J. Cooey, Giga Ohm Biological on Twitch. Now from him, I take these to be most likely true. Number one, that the method of production of the infectious clones allows them to make a first generation copy of the original, like you can make a CD copy off of an original CD, but you couldn't have made a good enough copy onto a cassette tape. And that's one of the reasons we like the CDs better, because the fidelity was 100%. So what they could do would be to create some of these perfect copies of the clone and distribute it in different places, like, say, for instance, Washington, New York City, Milan, places in China, you know, the usual suspects. The theory that I am proposing is that this Inovio product was made in a sword and shield way, so that they made, along with the sword, the infectious aerosolizing virus or coronavirus, if you will allow me to just use the term, because that's what everybody calls it. I'm not advocating for or against virus theory, okay? Let's put that aside and just use the label that everybody uses. The way that we can talk about it is to say the Inovio vaccine was able to be made immediately because they could get the code for the virus from the doctors that took the first patient. In other words, Snohomish County Man. So they get the virus from Snohomish County Man, supposedly, or else, you know, from a test tube, but they say it's from Snohomish County Man. How do you know which the difference is? But at any rate, this one is the perfect model that they made, the first generation copy. And they sent some of these around the world, according to theory, to increase the idea that there is a worldwide infection, that it is a pandemic. And knowing they've got control of the media, they have a fair chance of getting away with it. In other words, releasing a infectious clone in various principal spots that would get a lot of media attention, create an immediate fear on the part of, you know, billions of people, and a willingness, therefore, to let down our barriers and engage in untested vaccine ideas out of pure fear and pure confidence in our medical system and our media, not to lie to us about this. Okay, so these are deployed in various places to create panic and generate a pandemic response. Okay, identifying as a coronavirus CV19, the goal is to scare everybody into taking the new mRNA vaccines, even though they weren't even in human trials yet. The idea is, following Rick Bright's suggestion at the Milken Institute, that we needed to have something exciting or something almost, he almost used the word sexy, to change the public's perception and to move us forward into the new world. Very much resonant with the Klaus Schwab idea of COVID-19 ushering in the new world order, the technological merger of humans with machines, and coincidentally the loss of all privacy and the suppression of all human rights. So that idea of taking over the world through vaccines, and then, you know, we saw that there was the French Asterix comic that represented, you know, the release of a coronavirus that was going to, quote, race across Italy. That's Asterix number 39, I think. You should look it up if you haven't seen those incredible drawings of a gold-helmeted, chariot-riding warrior whose name is Coronavirus, racing across Italy in 2017, I think, or maybe it was earlier. Anyway, I did 3 or 4 shows on it. YouTube killed them all. But I did do another one recently, which you can see, of course, on my Rumble archive and also at BitChute at McDuff Uncensored, which is my other archive. So let's get back to, we're talking now in 2020. They thought that Trump was going to lose the election in 2016, but Trump was the president when this scheme was launched in 2019. So, okay, 2019, let's, you know, October, November, December, you know, the Wuhan games, wherever you want to start, this stuff was released. And the media hype comes in. But according to J.J. Cooey, the biologist, this clone, the first generation of it, you know, probably was very, made people sick. It was artificial. So when it went into the human, and then the human then exhales it or produces what they're calling exomes that can just go and infect another person, the contagiousness of it isn't like that first generation CD copy. It's more like the old cassette copy that isn't going to be 100% faithful to the original. In fact, if you study J.J. Cooey's studies, you'll see that there are very few of them that actually reproduce the clone. And most of what comes out of that is not able to be infectious to other people because it's not a perfect copy of the original CV-19. So enter remdesivir. And this is Mark Kulak's great work. Remdesivir comes in as a medicine that was developed by Gilead, which is troubling in the first place because of the Donald Rumsfeld Association. But it was made for, I believe, either hepatitis or one of the early coronaviruses like MERS. And sorry, I don't have the facts nailed down on that, but it's something that existed but was never found to be an effective medication. And the question is, well, why? You know, why did they keep making it? They've got vats and vats of it, according to Mark Kulak, and I believe it. So this becomes something of a puzzle, is why would they pull off the shelf an old medication called remdesivir that had never worked before for anything? And then they did some little bitty study that they blew up into a reliable source because they found some evidence that it was possibly helpful in the early stages of COVID-19. And then politically, or, you know, through whatever means necessary, they quashed the emergency use application for anything other than remdesivir. Even though there were other medications out there, and we can argue over which ones were the best, but, you know, you had your hydrochloroquinone, you had your ivermectin, and, you know, just basic vitamins, was the emergency use authorization really properly given to remdesivir? I think it's on its face wrong. They should not have given it to remdesivir, but somebody powerful got it done. And Rick Bright has a lot to do with pushing that because of his position at the head of BARDA. So there's that team, the Fauci team, I guess, with Rick Bright saying there's a new virus that's come from the bats and the pangolins and the wet market, and it's a horrible, horrible thing, and it's spreading all over the world like wildfire, and we've got to deploy our countermeasures right away. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to give everybody remdesivir that we possibly can. We're going to put everybody on ventilators that we possibly can, and we're going to deprive everybody of antibiotics in case they have a lung infection, because that would interfere, according to what we're saying, with the action of the miracle drug remdesivir. And if you look at the work of Denis Rancourt, or Dennis Rancourt in English, he's easy to find now. He's got a big website, and he's done some terrific studies on the effectiveness or lack of effectiveness of the treatments and the all-cause death certificates, which reveals so much information if you know how to read it, that he becomes convinced, as I am, that it wasn't the virus, it was the treatment modalities that caused all the deaths. And that, you know, appears to be true to me right now as I speak to you on April 10th, 2023, that the treatment modalities themselves were pumping up the death certificates. You think about the nursing homes where people with the illness, you know, the people that got supposedly the first generation clone, right, were stuck into the nursing homes so that they would infect vulnerable people. That's part of the theory, you know. Did Cuomo, did the rest of the mayors that went along with this, and governors, I should say, that went along with this? And then what does Trump do but sends the hospital ship up into New York Harbor and says, here, bring them here? And they didn't. They put them in the nursing homes. That is a severe break in the public health policy between Trump and the medical establishment surrounding Fauci. These are two different faces, two different political approaches. And the one that Trump took got in their way and caused them a lot of problems, according to the theory that I'm spelling out today. So what did Trump do? Trump ordered the Department of Defense to create a vax within 1 year. An Operation Warp Speed began May of 2020. And it doesn't look like the people who had been pushing the narrative were ready for Operation Warp Speed. If you go through Mark's analysis, Mark Kulak's analysis, they had a couple of years in which they didn't think that the public was going to be aware that they had already developed some countermeasures. And I'd say countermeasures as opposed to vaccine, because that's what I think, you know, if you look at it as a sword and shield thing, that it is a military operation in which you are infecting the battlefield while you've already vaccinated your soldiers. The military would probably like to have that weapon. It's a biological weapon. I mean, you know, if you had a choice between sending out a biological weapon that was going to disable and probably kill a lot of the enemy, maybe disable, but probably not kill many of your guys. And if you didn't do it, you know, your only other choice would be a nuclear war. If you're a war planner, do you not want to have on the shelf the ability to throw that debilitating, deadly virus at the enemy when you already have your people inoculated against it? And isn't that what the Inovio model gives you? Because if the Inovio model is the exact same gene sequence that you know because you got it from Snohomish County Man, is exactly what you need to counteract with the countermeasures. And then you send that to a scientist anywhere in the world, if they've got the equipment like Inovio does, then within a few hours, they can create a vaccine. But the public doesn't know that in the first 2 years, because it's during those 2 years that they have to build up enough of fear in the whole world that everybody's going to line up to get the jabs. But Operation Warp Speed comes in, and Trump pulls in this Mohammed Slaoui, and he and his military come up with a earlier timetable. So who steps up then but Moderna? And now it's Moderna that's getting all the investments and all the money because, yes, that's not a DNA, which is the infectious clone, but then gets replicated poorly after the first generation. No, now we're going to use mRNA, which is inherently not stable like the DNA model, because for one thing, DNA has two strands and RNA only has one strand. So it doesn't keep itself policed the way DNA does. It's more of a transitory thing, as I understand it. Messenger RNA, used to get from one place to another or to convey some information from one cell to another. I'm not a biologist. That's just my general understanding. And once again, I'm throwing this out here, guys. I'm sticking my neck out. I want you to think about what I'm saying. And if I'm wrong, I want to know, or if there's some way we can improve this theory to make it make sense to people who, you know, can make decisions or perhaps appeal to the public, that would be great. So during the years from 2020 to 2022 and up to the present time, as it's still going on, forced masking and lockdowns, treatment with remdesivir, depriving patients of needed antibiotics when their lungs get infected, forcing the ventilators at inappropriate times, and the media generating all of these social stresses and the lockdowns, of course, causing us to be emotionally unhappy, anger or fear or all of these emotions take a toll on our immune systems, as they very well know. So our immune systems are the target, and to make us vulnerable to being sick so that we have to take more vaccines, right? Get on the vaccine bandwagon. And what's the point of that? Well, that's not military. No, this is where you have two faces, okay? One face is the military face, the sword and shield. We've got the vaccine, we've got the virus. We're going to zap them with the virus and we're going to be safe because we've got the vaccine, sword and shield. That's the military. Well, who's the other people? The other people are the Wall Street, London financial people. These are the Malik Browns and the Boris Johnsons, the people like Biden, the people who are on the side of breaking down the United States, taking away the United States' ability to lead the world, both financially and in terms of science and the development of productivity, to reduce the standard of living of Americans to that of people living in what we normally think of as the third world, to destroy our love of our country, to destroy our institutions. I mean, this is the first year, I think, that they haven't let Catholic priests say a prayer on Easter in the military, just for an example. You know, taking our spiritual side and completely trashing it. And making it possible for the financial powers that exist to simply break us apart and did the same thing they did to the Soviet Union. This is not a battlefield war. This is the other face of COVID. This is the face of COVID that wants to weaken and destroy the power of the U.S. And that's where I think we have to recognize that there are two different COVIDs. So the first one is the one that really does make people sick, created synthetically, copied as an infectious clone along J.J. Cooey's theories and distributed around the world while at the same time, the treatment modalities prescribed by Fauci and others are going to make you sicker and worse. And a lot of people will die. I mean, think of Robert David Steele there. You see, saw pictures of him with his ventilator on. And how many people died because of this, what appears to be clear medical malpractice at best and murder at worst? And according to the theory, then all of this was to create the idea that there is this virus that came from nature. These things are just going to keep on happening. The pangolins and the bats are going to keep on doing the nasty. And we're going to end up with more and more viruses. So let's get used to the idea of using vaccines as a prophylactic to make sure we don't get sick and die. And the psychological campaign was going to involve a lot of people dying over the first 2 years. And then, as you know, the miracle doctors and nurses showed up in the 2012 opening of the Olympic Games in London, right under the nose of Prince, now King Charles himself, whose father wanted to come back as a deadly virus, by the way. And then Boris Johnson coming along as the savior, because his father wrote books about viruses and this same type of scenario happening. And so, you know, to fulfill their father's wishes, you know, Charles and Boris decided to play, you know, the corona card. And so, yeah, they did send the coronavirus racing across Italy with asterisks. All right, now let's go on to the second half of this. So Trump intervenes and creates Operation Warp Speed. Inovio had been planned to be the distributor of the COVID vax, so its stock was going up. It was simply waiting for the time to release this vaccine or antidote or countermeasures, which would have cured many and led everyone to believe that the vax was a godsend and universal acceptance would follow. Trump's Operation Warp Speed intervention caused the planners to panic. The U.S. Army was ordered and would know how to create a vax soon. Obviously, they could get the inside information when they needed it from CDC or NIH or even from Fauci, I imagine. So the plotters decided that the best thing for them to do was to go ahead and release their own vaxes. Now, they had vaxes that were not the specific antidote to the specific COVID-19, which is the first phase of COVID, the first model that I'm giving you. The second model is the phantom COVID, the COVID that nobody can find, the COVID that can't be isolated, the COVID that so many people are saying, oh, that doesn't exist, the no virus theory. And you'll hear a lot of people are saying, well, there was no virus. The idea here is that the PCR tests, which is not supposed to be a test, right? Kerry Mullis, not really a good, not to use for diagnosis, was used for diagnosis. And the results were given to people in terms of you have a case. You have a case of COVID. You might not be sick, but look at the test. The test result says positive. You're positive. So even though you don't have symptoms and we can't say that you got it from anybody, you can't contact tracing. There's no, you know, we're not even thinking contact tracing, for goodness sakes, we wouldn't do that. Then we might figure out that there wasn't really a legitimate swarm of viral exomes anyway. So they don't follow up on their ideas about contact tracing at all. And therefore you don't know if you got it from somebody or whatever, but you've got it. And that means that it just floats around in the air, that it can, anybody can get it. And the only answer is to do what the medical establishment says and, you know, roll up your sleeve. But the problem that we run into now is they do not have a treatment for the subsequent generations of that clone, which, if we understand Jonathan Cooey's, J.J. Cooey's analysis properly, cannot be infectious beyond one or two people. So there's never going to be that big swarm that you can see a geographical line from, you know, from San Francisco to St. Louis to Florida to DC. There's not going to be any connections or contact tracing, but we can still find a positive indication that you've got something that resembles the clone. And by the PCR or other tests, which are even more rare because they're very expensive, you can project that, well, you've got this genetic sequence, this one. But according to J.J. Cooey, they're not reproducing the whole genetic sequence, which has, you know, multiple thousands of elements in it. They're just taking what they consider to be significant examples of the bad parts and saying, well, you've got these. Again, I don't know the details of how they sell this idea, but J.J. Cooey does. He's breaking it down very, very well for us. So COVID-19-1 is an infectious clone, but COVID-19-2, the one that they're telling you you've got, even though you haven't got any symptoms and they can't show you a picture of it, that is the one that I think J.J. Cooey is saying is just a reflection of there being these parts, these unimportant background material that might have one day, you know, in the past been infectious, but is now completely dead. It's no longer a complete genome. It's no longer a complete infectious article. There's nothing that it can do to hurt you, except for it still looks like a coronavirus. And so they're throwing these general prophylactic so-called vaccines made from mRNA. Why would you make a vaccine out of mRNA instead of making it out of DNA? Well, because you're going to have something, and I don't know what it is, but something is going to contribute to their genetic analysis, to their human genome studies. Again, this is the banks. These are the ones that are following the esoteric, you know, transhumanism, the we are moving toward the singularity, you know, and you will be happy and own nothing. Those people are saying that you've got a disease that you don't have. Why? So they can get something into you that you don't want. And now they've gotten everybody to take these mRNA jabs, which are not specific to any particular coronavirus. Why? Because there must be an ulterior motive. It's not there to cure the patient. It's not there to prevent disease. It's for something else. And this is where Mark helps me to understand that there is this incredibly powerful movement towards discovering the human genome in far greater detail than they've ever done before. And in order to do that, they really want to trace each and every one of us to be able to monitor our health. You know, they want us to wear these devices, right? And they want us to think that, oh, geez, if I'm not feeling well, I can just go look at my computer and, you know, hold something up to my forehead, and then it'll tell me what's wrong with me and I need to take this or that. Individualized medicine, so they can do individual monitoring of however many, you know, millions and millions of people that they can get into their system. Now that sounds kind of fantastic too. It sounds, you know, crazy. But if they can get us all marked somehow in a way that they can trace us, then they can do their research. And then, you know, regardless of what happens to us, they will know how to do things like artificially extend their lives or create battle-hardened soldiers or merge you with a fish and send you on some sabotage mission against the enemy. All of these crazy ideas that if you don't believe in God, if you don't believe anything except for the here and now, then once you cross that boundary of not caring about what happens to your fellow humans or even your fellow creatures as these horrible veterinary experiments keep going on, once you cross that line, then there's no going back. There's no reason for you to ever, ever turn back. As a matter of fact, you're probably doing pretty well financially by following the script. So the new mRNA vaccines did not cure or prevent CV-19. However, they carried in them some kind of marker that contributes to the secret project of monitoring humans during their lifetimes to learn their genetic code better and advance their drive for transhumanism. So the two different coronavirus teams were not coordinated. They're working against each other, the Trump team and the Fauci team, is the way I see it. The geneticists on the Trump team, they just want the data. And they're far beyond the idea of committing murder or genocide. They don't care. What they want is data. They do not care about individual human lives at all. This is a science project. You know, don't give me your bleeding heart, you know, liberals saying, don't do it. We have to do it. This is like a war, and it's a war to preserve the elite and continue their lives and make sure that the rest of us remain in a servile position as we are now. War fighters, on the other hand, want a shield and a sword. The sword, a specific coronavirus that would hurt the enemy while the vax protects the good guys. Now, what about your defensive planning for biological warfare? In defensive planning, this is the other side of it. I'm not making a sword and shield anymore. What I'm making now is a prophylactic and a treatment modality. So I know they're going to fire some type of a virus at me. Okay, the other side, the bad guys, they have got this biological weapon, but we don't know the details of it. We just know it's going to hit us like a coronavirus, and like, because that's what we're working on, is a coronavirus to hit them with. As a matter of fact, we're only doing ours because we think that they're probably coming up with one. And so because they see that we're doing it, they come up with one themselves. For whatever reason, it's all crazy, but they have their own coronavirus weapon. We don't know the exact genetic code, and they're not going to give it to us. So we're not going to have a Snohomish County man that we can make our principal countermeasures from. What we need is a broad general prophylactic or countermeasure. And that would be why we've been working on Moderna, because hopefully this Moderna mRNA will be, because it's fast enough, it's flexible enough to at least protect our people for a little while, or perhaps once we get the genetic sequence, we can tweak it because it's just RNA and make an effective vaccine that way. But you see, the defensive biological warfare preparation cannot be as specific as the Inovio vaccine. It has to be general. And that's why they have these general ones that they started throwing at us, telling us this is what you need to take. Because these general ones, which must have the combined effect of giving some relief, some therapeutic value, just as remdesivir may have some therapeutic value, but also in some way, which I don't know yet, I haven't penetrated yet, but this is just the theory, that it gives them information that's going to help them produce their transhuman future, preserving the elites while keeping all the rest of us under control and giving our lives short shrift and theirs, who knows, perhaps even immortality. So those are my comments. I tossed them out there for, you know, whatever critiques or thoughts you may have. I'm looking forward to hear from Mark about what he thinks about what I've just offered here. I respect him as, you know, really a very honorable and thorough researcher and archiver, and thank him very much for his work. Also, JJ Cooey and Nick and all the other good friends. Again, I'm sticking my neck out here. I could be completely wrong. I could have a bad theory. But even if it's true, people who can correct it and point me back in the right direction will be helping the greater effort to find the real truth. And that's, you know, all of us are hoping for that.